I'd ask you to please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. And so our subject this evening is quite simply the command of God, look unto me. And of course, in a gospel sense, this is undoubtedly encouraging us to look to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many reasons given in this chapter why we must this evening look unto Christ. Now, the word look in the original, it is not just a casual look. It's not a quick look. It's not a cursory glance. In the original, it means to gaze. It means to contemplate. It means to consider deeply. It means to meditate. And this is so important for the person who is coming from darkness to light, to look with intentness by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand their absolute dependence upon him. But this is also a word for believers this evening. You see, the more we look, the more we gaze, the more we meditate, the more we contemplate, the more wonders we see about the Lord Jesus Christ. A while ago, I remember using this illustration about a research student, and he was studying bones under the microscope, and he was given some scales of a fish to examine under the microscope. And he spent 3 hours looking at these bones with the microscope, and he made several notes. He thought he'd done very well, and he'd done a very thorough job. And he went to the professor, and he said, "Here we are, here's my research." And he said, "You've only just started." And he said, "You've got to look much closer. You've got to examine it much more intently. You've got to use your microscope much more accurately." And in the end, he was 3 days on this project. And he was amazed. He couldn't believe that there was such an intricacy in the makeup of this, the scale of this fish. And so it is for us. When we talk about looking unto Jesus, and when we talk about looking, when God says to us, "Look unto me," this is a look upon which all our life depends for time and eternity. And so God gives us several reasons to encourage us why we should look to Christ and be saved, why we should really appreciate his salvation, why we should consider so deeply the wonderful character of God, specifically here in the nature of the gospel. Why should we accept his invitation? Why, when walking in the Christian way, do we need to constantly be reminded to look to the right person? First of all, it is because God commands us. God says, "Look to me and be saved." And so, the authority for us to look to Christ, the authority for us to come to Christ, is not just because how we feel. The authority is because God tells us to do so. He says, "Look unto me and be saved." The warrant for us coming and looking rests upon the security and faithfulness of the invitation and its source. I remember a man once said to me, "I don't really need to keep coming to church and being taught in the Bible, because one day I went to church and I had this amazing experience. I felt the love of God overwhelm me, and I don't at all doubt that man's experience. It was real to him and real, but sadly, it didn't bear the fruit of constant walking in the right way and learning about God. He had the experience, and that was enough for him. But when we are given experiences in life, they're simply for the purpose for us to look to God and to know more about him. Yes, the warrant for coming is because God has told us to come. Our need is already established. We are sinners. It's absolutely certain that I am a sinner and you are a sinner this evening. And Jesus came to save sinners. And so God commands us in his word, look unto me and you will be saved. If we are already in the Christian walk, we need to constantly look. God is our deliverer, our refuge. This is a command this evening. Look to me in this intense manner, focused manner. You know, if a batsman in the cricket, in the test match, or a 2020 skies a ball and the fielder is on the boundary attempting to catch the ball, everyone's looking at that fielder. And the fielder is not looking at the audience, he's not looking at all the spectators, he's not looking at his team members, he's looking at the ball. And if you watch his head, he's constantly looking at the ball, he's lining his body and his hands to catch the ball. There's an intenseness of that concentration to be in the right place at the right time. And so this evening, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on around you, your first priority this evening is to look to Christ, because this is God's way and this is God's command. Look to me and be saved, because God commands us. And remember, because who it is that is commanding us. Now here, God says something which he doesn't often say in scripture. He appeals to his authority. He says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. I am God, and there is none other. And we have read that that is said several times in this chapter. There is none other. I am God. He appeals to who he is. His authority. It's not often recorded such in such a way in scripture, but it is here. The reason we must look, because there is none other to look to this evening for salvation. And I am God. There is no other. Here we have one of the great eternally verifiable facts, that there is only one God and one Saviour. All other religions are simply man adding their own pathetic wisdom to their understanding of God or faith. In doing so, they render their religion void of any saving power whatsoever, for it is God alone. There is none else. But then, because of his promise, it says here in verse 22, look unto me, look to me and be saved. Here is the promise. Something's going to happen. An event of an eternal consequence is going to happen in your life. You are going to be saved from a never-ending eternity in hell. You are going to be saved from the clutches of Satan. You are going to be saved from the enemy of souls. And you are going to be delivered into the kingdom of God. We do not always keep our promises, but God does. And God says this evening, if you look to him and you're trusting in him, you will be saved. That is God's promise. Early on in my ministry, I promised a dying lady I would arrange the publishing of her husband's historical record of evangelism in the 1800s. It was a sincere promise, but when I sent it off to the publisher, it was turned down, and there was reasons for it. Subsequently, in a move, I mislaid the manuscript, meaning there is now absolutely no possibility of honouring the promise, because that's in some landfill somewhere now. So I've not been able to keep my promise. But God is different. There is none other like God. He says, look to me and be saved. And when God says, and be saved, there is a promise that is not only kept for time, it's for eternity. God always keeps his word, whether in salvation or in judgment. He warned Adam and Eve about the danger of disobedience, and he kept his word. They were taken out of the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden at the fall because they disobeyed God. They'd listened to Satan rather than heeding the reasonable requirements of God. But God, at the same time, he promised, he had warned Adam and Eve, but then after the fall, he promised a Messiah would come to get the victory over Satan. And God kept his promise and sent his only begotten Son into this world to be our Savior. Excuse me. Recently, I've been visiting in hospital a person who suffers not only physically, but mentally, can only take very small bites of the Word of God at a time. And so to help, I have been preparing for each visit a small card with a promise on it from the Word of God. Now, I could have got TBS do lots of cards like this, but I've actually done it personally because it adds a personal touch. One of the texts this week was God is love, and it's set across the background of with a background of a rainbow. And the rainbow reminds us, every time we see it in the sky, of the unfailing promises of God. The rainbow was the assurance of the promise that God would never again flood the whole earth, and of his faithfulness in seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, not ceasing while time exists. And so God is constantly keeping his promises. So when we say, reading the word of God, God is love, we can remind ourselves creatively of the way that God is who he says he is and what God says he does. Because of his promise, but then because of the range of his command. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, this evening. Now here is a promise that undoubtedly encompasses your situation this evening. This is God's mercy net. This is God's wonderful net of mercy. It says to all the ends of the earth, whatever condition, whatever situation, whatever history you might have in your life, whatever the future holds, all the ends of the earth include you, dear friend. To all the ends of the earth. God is not shocked or fazed or rendered unable to save because of your condition, because he is God. He says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. And all the ends of the earth is a promise only God could make and only God can fulfill. All he requires of you this evening is simply to look. That's what the word says. Don't let's complicate it. Don't let's add to it. Don't let's do more than we should and be guilty of either taking away or adding to the word of God. simply let us take this word of God, this text, as it says. It says, look to me. Look to me and be saved. In Spurgeon's Checkbook of Faith, he says this. This is a promise of promises. It lies at the foundation of our spiritual life. Salvation comes through a look at him who is a just God and Saviour. How simple is the direction? Look unto me. How reasonable is the requirement, Spurgeon says. Surely the creature should look to the Creator. We've looked elsewhere long enough. It's time that we look alone to him. But then if you look at this chapter, there are so many times when God in his inspired word encourages us in looking to him. Another reason we need to look to him and trust in him is because of his power. God says in verse 2 of this chapter, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of the darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Because of his power, I will go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. God promises to go before all those that trust and follow him. If you remember in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. I will go before you, he says. You're not on your own. I will go before you in this situation you are in. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. God goes before his people like a trailblazer, providing a pathway for us to walk, and only God can straighten out what has been made crooked by sin. Sin has made many crooked places in your life, and only God can straighten them. God will break in pieces the gate barrier set up by the enemy to hinder you coming to God. God will cut in pieces the bars of iron, the bars of condemnation, the bars of guilt. God will take this all away. He will cut it, it says. I will break it in pieces. I will cut the bars of iron. He will make a highway of salvation to walk in, a highway that is straight and level and unhindered. This is called the gospel highway, a place that you can walk along in safety, looking unto Jesus. You know, a car has been developed that can travel at incredible speeds. It will undoubtedly beat by a huge margin the current land speed record. But it says on this documentary that the track has to be perfectly smooth, without one piece of debris, just one small indentation or small piece of rubbish would mean the likelihood of a crash out of which the driver would be unlikely to survive. And our life is not filled with the odd bit of waste and indentation. Our life is filled with loads of debris, loads of indentation, loads of crooked places. And as the backup team for the car needs to clear the debris, so for safety, so God. And only God can clear the pathway for our eternal security. And he does so through his Son, Jesus Christ, who goes before us. The gospel highway, the highway to holiness, is only because Jesus goes before us. And he makes the crooked places straight and the rough places plain. And this highway that God's prepared is safe, it's straight, and it leads to glory. But then another reason. The rebellion against God is futile. Verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? God is our creator. It is for us to submit to our maker. And then again, in verse 23, I have sworn by myself, a word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return that to me. Every knee shall bow. We thought about this morning. Every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Rebellion against God is utterly futile. It is for us to look to submit to our Maker. I used this illustration some years ago, but it says, the captain of a ship in the dark night saw lights in the distance, and immediately he told his signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a message returned was received, alter your course 10 degrees north. And the captain was very angry. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south, I am a captain. And soon another message was received, alter your course 10 degrees north, I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a message, knowing the fear it would invoke, alter your course 10 degrees south, I am a battleship. And then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north, I am a lighthouse. You see, the friends, we're like that with God. We sometimes think we're a battleship. We become so proud of ourselves. And we're not going to change for anyone. We're not going to alter our course for anyone. This is the way of the world. But God says to us this evening, look to me, repent, turn to me, look to me and be saved. And someone who looks to Christ does so with a submission to be as clay in the hands of the potter. It's futile to think that we can rebel against God. It's better to repent than live in the cloud cuckoo land, as it were, of the rebel. Because there is only one God. Another reason, because there is only one God. We've said this again before this evening, but read what it says here again. There is no other, there is no God, no other God. This is repeated several times in this chapter. I am the Lord, there is no other God beside me. There is only one God to look to. And another reason this evening, because God is faithful. I did not say, God says to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. His word is sure. His word never fails. He is faithful in his justice, in his promises, in his purposes. Because of God's justice. Because of God's justice. Babylon, in the context of this writing, came under the justice of God. And so will we, if we continue to rebel. And because of your great need of salvation. There is no other God beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you end of the earth, for I am God. And there is none other. We spoke to the children this afternoon about being lost. someone that's lost needs to be found. And Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're helpless in and of ourselves. We're guilty before God. We have a need. This is one of the great reasons we must come. We have a great need to come. And even if we are already in the way, sadly we wonder, we have to come and look again and keep looking unto God. Look unto me and be saved. Oh, the depth of this. The depth of this. This is amazing. There's a depth of this wonderful invitation. And this wonderful promise. Be saved. Be saved from hell. Be saved from Satan. The extent, all the ends of the earth. And the way, for I am God, and there is none other. Be very careful, friends, of rebelling against God. You know, when we have that spirit within us of rebellion, it really does us incredible harm. Incredible harm. But you know, there was once a boy, and he was told several times to sit down. And eventually, he did obey at the tea table, and he sat down. And this is what he said to his father. He said, I want you to know something. I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm still standing up. And so when we come to the Lord God, when we come to him and we look to him, this is not just an outward show. This is our whole being. We're saying, I'm going to come in just as we are. We're looking to God with our whole life and all that it encompasses. But as we look, we will be saved. All you ends of the earth. Isaiah gives a number of reasons for looking unto Christ and being saved. How do we assess these reasons this evening for coming to Christ? What does it really mean to us? Maybe God still is irrelevant to your life. And the reason for that is because you've never really looked properly at the evidence. You've not really considered properly the statements that God gives to encourage us and to warn. You've not drunk them in, you've not thought about them, you've not stopped to consider them. This is God speaking. This is not a man. This is God. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. You know, there was a man who went to an art gallery and he viewed many paintings, and on his way out he said to the manager, I don't think much of your paintings. And the curator replied, it was not the paintings that were on show, were on trial. It was not the paintings that were on trial, but your appreciation of them was on trial. It was not the paintings that were on trial, but your appreciation of them. And God's word's not on trial. God's faithfulness here is not on trial. The ability of God to keep his promises here is not on trial. There's absolutely, eternally no doubt about that this evening. What is on trial this evening is how you're going to respond to this text this evening. How are you going to respond to it? And the Lord says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Well, there are several statements here in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And each statement is a bit like a picture on the wall in the art gallery. And we have to walk through the gallery in our mind and take the meaning of the statements in. Because the purpose of the statements, the purposes of the truths, the purpose of the promises, is that you will look by faith to Christ, to view him and all his beauty and all sufficiency as your personal Lord and Savior. He has provided the way for us in Christ Jesus the Lord. And when we properly understand our position and we properly look to him, we gaze, we contemplate, and we take this seriously, then we begin to appreciate who he is, the Holy God, and yet the God who is love, who says to us this evening, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other.